Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy at the mere mention of my name.
This is The Mark Gunger Show, the show that is all about things concerning...
knowledge.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Gunger.
Look, you, I'm very intelligent.
Joining me, as always, is the charming and lovely Diane Brierley.
Nobody really cares.
And, hallelujah.
And the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Well, pardon me, Mr. Perfect.
Engineering, as always, Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs. In the background, joining us again on this day, the lovely and charming Tiffany Jennings, sitting in on the show, an actually trained marriage professional.
This has to be quite traumatic to her.
She's still getting over from yesterday's program. These people are idiots. Good Lord. This is the show that you can send in your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas via email to radio@markgunger.com. For those of you new to the show, let me explain to you how this works. You get to email your questions to us. You get to remain totally anonymous. We, in return, are brutally honest. So don't take these things personally. This is a chance for you to throw something up against the wall to see if it sticks with us. This is not a forum for serious counseling. You want serious counseling? You need to set up an appointment with Tiffany.
Go see Tiffany. All right?
This is just to throw stuff up against the wall to see what we think. And don't get upset if, well, you don't really understand everything about my situation. Duh, do you think? It's just an email. You send us an email. I have this situation. What do you think? We will approach it. If we think it's good thinking, we'll celebrate it. If we think you're bad thinking, we will castigate it. So there. That's how the show is. If you're ultra uber sensitive and got boo-boos everywhere, don't send it to us. We are not boo-boo friendly.
No, not so much.
Tiffany is boo-boo friendly. But she's paid to be boo-boo friendly.
Maybe if they paid us a little more, we'd be more boo-boo friendly.
No, I don't think
we should do a we should do a commercial for Tiffany.
I don't think she's wired to be boo-boo friendly.
If you are in the Green Bay, Appleton Valley area or in Ohio and want to get away for a weekend... and you would like to meet with a Christian counselor who's actually professionally trained in this kind of stuff, you can contact Tiffany. Do you have a website or anything, or how do they get hold of you?
Actually, I do.
You do? What's it called?
It's on the Galleria.
The Galleria. What the heck's a Galleria?
It should be up and running in a few days. It's actually a Christian...
Oh, it's not up yet?
Nope. It should be up and running. I'm sorry.
What's it going to be when you get it, so people know?
It's a gathering place.
What's the address?
2200 Dickinson Road.
No. You said there's an email? There's a website?
Oh, gotcha.
Website.
I'm sorry. It's just the Galleria.
Thegalleria.com?
Mm-hmm.
Thegalleria.
How do you spell that, Mark?
Galleria.com.
G-A-L-L-E-R-I-A. I was Galleria. Asking him,
River
Mr.
Chase Galleria?
Spellingly.
Oh. It's not Galleria.com. It just came up with something else. It says Marvelous Mom here.
Oh, that's me.
I don't know. We'll try to figure it out.
It's a work in progress. So.
All right. So she's just now setting up her. You were a family therapist for 15 years or whatever for the state, right?
Right. And I started work at age 10.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, of course. And you look it, my dear. So 15 years of doing that, and then now you're going out on your own.
Right.
That's great. That's actually why she's sitting in with us this week, because she has the time to come check out what we're doing. So there you have it. Anyway.
She must realize that any moron can have his own internet radio show after listening to this.
What she's learned. One thing she's
learning. Any idiot can have his own show on the internet.
That's right. So there's your lesson for the day. Mrs. Brierley, what have you for us?
Okay, this is a very fascinating article that explains the 9 reasons why men cheat.
Ooh.
Some of it is actually quite crap-laden, but some of it is very good. It's
crap-laden.
Yeah. There's a guy that's explaining and excusing it all. Then there's people that are debunking it and saying he's full of horse feathers. So
that's a category, actually, that Tiffany learned in school.
Horse feathers.
The crap-laden.
Crap-laden. Some of it's pretty stupid.
All right. What do you got?
Okay. 40% of men seek sexual satisfaction outside their relationships. That's an approximate 40% number. 40%.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The number one reason, they say, is men crave sexual variety.
Okay.
That's what this professor of psychology at the University of Texas
professor.
Yes.
Hello, professor.
He says they've evolved the desire to be with different women.
They've evolved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're a moral piece of crap.
Mm-hmm. You've evolved into being a moral piece of crap.
I have evolved this way. I wouldn't have been this way except my chromosomes happen to tumble about in a certain fashion.
It says because it's very simple for men to reproduce, 1 act of sex versus 9 months of pregnancy for women. Mm-hmm. So to create as many offspring as possible, they're biologically programmed to mate with many women.
Horse manure.
That's what I'm telling you.
I always say that. It's not about is a great way to give a reason for guys being slime bags. Okay.
Other top reasons men cheat, they're unhappy with their mates, and extramarital sex is cheaper and easier to get these days.
That's a fact.
That's true. And they said, and power wives beware, being married to a high-profile guy ups the odds that he'll wander.
I don't know, where are you getting the 9 reasons?
It keeps going.
I don't see it. That's it!
Follow along, right, shall we? Women are attracted to men who have power and status, so public figures usually have plenty of opportunity. Ain't that the truth? Whether your guy is a political animal and... Unless you're too fat.
I'm too fat!
Mm-hmm. Whether your guy is a political animal, an A-list celeb, or just a cubicle mate, his motivation to cheat is the same, according to one relationship expert.
Yes, and that is?
99% of the time, there's a simple reason why men cheat. Boredom is what this Steve Sandigotti, the author of The Manual, a true bad boy, explains how men think, date, and mate.
I don't believe that either.
Remember that email we had a long time ago?
Boredom. I have been bored.
He was bored.
I have been bored.
Remember that?
I have never in a moment of boredom say, gee, I'd like to boink some bimbo.
Mm-hmm.
I am so bored. If there was just a bimbo I could boink, I wouldn't be nearly as bored.
Okay.
How stupid is that? I don't believe that's a dumb thing.
But that's what they say. I don't believe it either. They say whatever the reasons, cheaters give monogamous men, which are the majority, a bad name. Here are the 9 excuses that guys give for doing the extramarital mambo. Number 1, she ain't what she used to be.
Yo, gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. What? You really think that's one of the main reasons?
She ain't what she used to be? Well,
I don't.
They're lame excuses. Get it? They're not the reasons. This is stupid, dumb excuses that men give.
Well, they ain't what they used to be either.
That's right.
Be nice.
They say, like Adam, the typical man can't resist the temptation of riper fruit, especially if the woman in his life has let herself go. If she got lazy or gained weight or just doesn't take care of herself, a guy will start looking at other women. Women who want to keep their men on a short leash need to take a good, hard look in the mirror. And men should do the same.
Why are we dogs?
He might be a complete slob and still be demanding perfection from her. It's the typical double standard. For their part, guys should also make an effort to rediscover the spark at home. Make her feel pretty, even if you're lying, he advises. Tell her how beautiful she is and how much you appreciate it. It will make
her
feel...
But don't tell her that you're lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm lying. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, don't tell her you're lying.
I'm obligated to tell you this.
I'm lying. I think you're beautiful.
I'm lying when I do this, but you're really pretty today.
Okay. Anyhow, excuse number 2 that they give.
I don't believe that, by the way. What? I don't think that's one
the change. What she used to be?
No.
I think it's an excuse that guys give. I don't think it's the reason
these
why.
These might be excuses. Listen,
you're not listening to me. These aren't nine excuses.
These aren't actually documented reasons. Oh, okay. That I believe.
Lame, dumb excuses.
Yeah, it's not that I'm a slob. It's that it's
she
her fault.
She ain't what she used to be. Yes. Right. Okay. Excuse number two. No one loves a ball buster. Perhaps nothing will drive a married man into the arms of another woman faster than a nagging wife. She's like a mosquito. He doesn't want to have sex with her. He wants to swat her away. The more viable option, hot sex with a more understanding woman. Now, there's somebody that's speaking some reason into this. He says, right,
hogwash. That I can believe.
Yes.
I think there are women that do this. They are ball busters, I guess. I don't know if I would call it so much that as just that they are so cold, they don't ever want to have
sex.
Cold
and critical.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, and it goes the other way around. If you have a guy who does it to a woman all the time,
same
too.
Same thing happens. That's one of the main reasons.
This guy who wrote this, Stephen Solomon, wrote a book, Intimacy After Infidelity, How to Rebuild an Affair-Proof Your Marriage. He says a woman or man doesn't do something that excuses cheating. Whatever the relationship dynamic, it's not that healthy to begin with if it leads to infidelity, is what he says. So he's saying that that's just an excuse.
Okay.
Excuse number three, she just doesn't get me. Men who cheat say they don't feel understood by their mate. But it's not always the woman. Mostly, they're either angry or...
Yeah, but here's the problem with that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably true for all guys. And women as well.
It's true for women.
Nobody understands everybody.
How many women thinks their husband actually get
them? My wife's been married for 40 years. I still, at some level, think...
She doesn't
get me. I don't think she quite gets me.
I know my wife gets me.
Yeah.
Does she?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, but you're gay.
Because I'm easy. You can read me like a book.
Yeah.
I guess,
it's still an excuse. This is not a reason.
No,
it's not logical. They're
no, but
excuses.
I'm saying, I mean,
right.
if that's your excuse,
then everybody
who
should
gets
be going
anybody.
Out. Yes.
You could use that at any level, yes. at any time. Even Ross. If Ross was really upset, that's an easy excuse to grab. Yes. Well, she doesn't get me.
She doesn't get me.
She
so
doesn't
I'm gonna
understand.
Go out and have sex with
she
the...
doesn't understand me. This other lady yeah. understands mm-hmm. me. You know, and that is a trap.
There are a lot of people, though, that do that.
Tons
That's exactly
of people.
What
yes.
happens.
Yes, but I'm just saying
they find somebody who does get them.
But here's the thing. The person that you think gets you doesn't really get you.
No, they don't.
They just happen to be talking. They're giving you whatever you, what stroke you need at that mm-hmm. moment emotionally.
Because if they were there, the 24/7 person, it would be exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Excuse number four, it's the thrill of it. Most guys who have affairs are getting in touch with their inner caveman. They like to play with fire. It adds
I'm building
a level
my cave.
Of
don't
danger.
You I'm building the man cave.
I disagree with that only because on this, a lot of things that we've talked about, how men feel when they are actually doing it or afterwards. For the joy of it. From all the stuff that we've heard, the amount of remorse, the amount of pain
that's
and
afterwards.
Shame they feel.
That's afterwards. The thrill is at the front end.
Oh,
the
I agree.
Garbage
the
is at the back end. I'm sorry. I'm pointing my pen at you.
You are. I'm waiting for you to throw it at me.
Gee. It's the thrill is at the front end. The thrill is not at the back end.
Yeah.
At the back end of it, it's regret and remorse. But boy, it's
I dare
a
say
lot.
The more inappropriate, yep. the greater the thrill in the front
yep.
end.
Yep.
That, which is sad. This is why if you learn sex this way, a married sex becomes boring.
Yep.
Because you don't get that thrill of doing something that's...
You get attached to the thrill
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, but the problem is that so-called thrill leads to dissatisfaction mm-hmm. and regret.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do not feel very good after this.
Big time. The thrill's only at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah.
Excuse number five, blame it on the hunter. Often married men who cheat can't quite explain their motivation. They just find themselves compelled to bust out of their day-to-day routine in search of something new. It's a primitive instinct that dates back to their role as hunter and gatherer. Only this time, they're hunting and gathering new women. Do you believe that? You're sitting there very quiet.
No, I don't think
Horse
so.
Horse manure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. This is very wise.
I've never even
though.
Heard that one.
No, I've never either. But this is really good. They say women can protect themselves by getting wise to this behavior early in the relationship and getting out. So if you see a guy who's wandering like that, what the heck? You're not going to tame him. Get
Buy
out.
Buy a taser.
Get out.
Buy a taser.
Santa Gotti suggests you can find more out about a man's dating history by watching how he acts in a room full of gorgeous women.
See those wandering eyes?
Yes. If you can't rein him in...
What did I say?
You
can
find
out more about
a
man's
dating
history by watching how he acts with... What does that mean?
In a room full of gorgeous women. If you can't rein him in when your romance is new, you'll never control him down the road when your life together is more settled.
But what
settled.
Does that mean? Wandering eyes. What is he doing?
If he's with you and you're in the first initial 3 months of dating and he's, you know... wandering eyes and flirting with all of these chicks, He's supposed to be quite taken with you in the early stages of your romance, and if you can't even keep his attention, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of these women, I'm telling you, they see that as a challenge.
So they start flirting with women when they're...
Yes, they see, well, I'm going to tame him. Hi. I'm going to be the one.
Hi, nice hooters. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? My name's Bob.
But I do think that there's women who do that, that they think, well, I'll be the one. I'll tame him.
Huh.
And then they can't
tame
him.
You could drug him.
Well, you could taser him, drug him, beat him over the head with a club, whatever you want. Yes. The next excuse is biology, baby. It's our biological nature to be with as many females as possible.
That I hear all the time. That's all because of the, we've been, you know, what's the word again? Evolved.
Yes.
You know, that we can't control the way we are. It's just biology, which is a bunch of horse manure. All right.
Once we've seen a woman naked several times, it becomes commonplace. It doesn't matter if you're Jessica Alba or Sienna Miller. We become accustomed to your body and want to experience something different.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm bored with your nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
This nakedness is so boring. What kind of a sick, twisted guy
know.
Is this?
He's sick and twisted. That's right. They do it. The people.
Who did you say? I don't care. It's who?
What's that?
Jessica Alba.
Alba,
I don't know who Sienna Miller is.
I'm sure. Whoever's with Jessica Alba is looking at her going, you know, I've seen this twice.
This doesn't do it for me anymore.
I need to move on.
You're boring to me.
Only a moron would say something like this.
Now, the people that are countering this argument say whether it's evolutional, biology, or simply novelty, infidelity researchers agree that men do seek different sex partners. However, the decision whether to cheat is entirely within a man's control. Most men don't act on these desires because they don't want to jeopardize social reputations or marriages.
I'm just saying, it's extremely rare that a man does not find his wife naked being appealing.
Extremely rare.
Extremely rare.
Well, all right, but is somebody else?
I mean, have
who
you ever
like,
heard a guy? I mean, unless you know, it can happen.
If they're
like,
looking at porn or they're looking at
other
women, they're more interesting.
No, she's like 500 pounds overweight, or you know, and I get that. But
you can always find someone who's prettier and more interesting looking than your wife.
I get that. I mean, you can always find someone better looking, unless of course you're married to me. Then it's impossible.
Mm-hmm,
but you know, there's but what you're saying is, they're saying I'm bored with your nakedness.
Yes. So I want to find new nakedness. Well, then you get bored with that nakedness and you have to find another new one.
That's very sick. Yeah.
The next reason is it's just sex. For most guys, sex and love are two entirely different things. We really believe I can still love my wife and want to have sex with another woman. We can separate it in our brains. That rationale allows guys to cheat guilt-free. That's what he says.
Number eight,
not tonight, dear. Let's face it, men want sex more than women, so
generally speaking,
she's not giving it. He's going to go find it someplace else. And number nine says, because we can. Okay, we're guys. Remember, it's hard to resist temptation, especially when it's at our fingertips.
Okay, these are the common excuses. I think the ones that probably have more truth to them than anything.
Miss Tiffany had something to say.
Oh, Miss Tiff.
She was waving the finger. I said, don't just wave the finger. Just spin it out.
She's giving you the what? What'd you do? I think the three that probably make the most amount of sense, one is when he talks about, people say it's about the thrill. It's about the ego stroke.
It is, very much
That's
so.
That's a big thing, but that goes for male or women.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who do seduce other women are usually successful when they learn how to really connect with their egos and stroke them. Push the right buttons in them. Women who do this to guys back. You know, so that's a biggie. Because, let's face it, marriage, you're not constantly stroking each other's ego buttons, you know, and it's easy to do, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You don't have to know them. You don't have to love them. You don't have to deal with them. You don't have to clean their underwear. You don't have to smell
their
breath in the morning.
You have the upside
without
the downside.
Okay, so that's one. I think when you start getting the problem of sexless marriages, the not tonight deal, I think that creates very frustrating environments where people start straying. And I think the other one that probably has a lot of truth is that for a lot of guys, particularly those who didn't do life right in the first place. That's why we want to teach our kids to do life right in the first place. But for men who've had sex with many, many different women, they do get a sense of sex is just sex. It doesn't mean anything. There's guys, they'll have sex with another woman,
and it doesn't
and then their wife
mean
gets mad, and at some level they're confused.
Because it didn't mean anything. She didn't mean anything to me.
It's no big deal. It's nothing. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little hard to move on.
But they are just excuses. They're not justifications.
No,
they're
I'm just saying, I think these so-called excuses have more truth to them than anything. I think when you have a guy who thinks in those terms, you're talking about a guy
who's been kind of damaged,
yes,
and allowed himself to be damaged by being so promiscuous.
Yes.
And at some point, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but at some point, that guy that you have every right in the world to be mad at, you almost want to get mad at all the other women who created this guy. You know what I'm saying?
True. Oh,
that's good.
I mean, they really do. You know, it is what it is, and you got to grow. And, you know, okay, a lot of us, you know, we're not Christians ahead of time, mm-hmm, and you got to break these habits and stuff. I'm just saying that I think there is, even though it's an excuse, mm-hmm, it's never a justification.
That's what I asked.
I think there's some truth to
there's
that.
There's reasons
one.
Why stuff happens, but yeah, they're not justifications. No,
and I think, yeah, and I think because some of these guys, they don't get it. They,
but then
to
people
them,
justify
sex
it.
Sex is just sex. And of course, then they, yeah, realize that, oh my gosh, my wife hates me now, and I'm, yeah, losing everything. And it kind of, and it's good for them to experience that, kind of, mm-hmm, jerk the slack out of them. And some women, it's hard for them to understand that for some, a lot of guys, some guys. I'm not sure how many. I don't think it's as common as people say. I think a lot of men are much more emotionally vested sexually than what they give us credit for. Mm-hmm. But there are men, because of their background, they literally can have sex with somebody and it truly
can mean nothing.
Means absolutely nothing, mm-hmm, to him.
Well, there's women who can do it too.
I know, but they learn from there's hell to pay as a, mm-hmm, result. Mm-hmm. Fine. Open up the can of whoop butt on him, mm-hmm, and go for it, and he needs to learn. You can't do this,
yes,
okay? So I just think there's truth in that. So I think the just sex thing, people getting starved out sexually, but probably the main one I would guess would be it's the emotional ego stroke,
mm-hmm,
that sucks people down this path.
Mm-hmm.
Only, though, to produce
hell.
Regret.
Total hell.
Listen to me. The best sex in the world is guilt-free sex.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing
and,
of it
and you
is,
you can't get there doing it the wrong ways.
If you go down the wrong path, it's going to mess up the sex life that you had with your wife if you can restore this anyway. I mean, it's going
it
to
makes
make
harder.
It even
oh,
more
yeah, absolutely.
Difficult.
And it takes a lot of forgiveness, a lot of grace, mm-hmm, and healing, and lots of people have been down this,
mm-hmm,
path.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have crossed this line. You know, and that's the great thing about the Christian message, you know, is that, hey, there is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There is grace. If we're all doomed because of something stupid we did, we'd all be doomed.
I'm doomed because I'm
doomed,
sitting here.
We're doomed.
We're
just,
we'd be
I mean,
doomed.
You're doomed. You're just doomed.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I mean, what are you
going
to say? So, but having said all that, you don't want to go down this path. You want to avoid these things.
At all costs.
If you know what? We were talking about doing this book. We've never been able to get to it because for whatever reason. But we wanted to write this book telling people's personal stories,
mm-hmm,
who had like a sexual affair.
Walked the path,
and then the results afterwards. In other words, mm-hmm, and I want to do it not in a typical Christian way. I want to do it so that the first half of it is a steamy deal. I mean, you're reading this thing, it's like, ooh, like, but then you keep seeing what you don't see in romance novels, you don't see the rest
the fallout,
of the story.
Right.
Or in Christian things, they just show the, how horrible it is, but without showing the temptation. Mm-hmm. See, the Bible really talks about both. When you read Proverbs, Solomon says to his son, look, the path to the adulteress is a wonderful path. It,
mm-hmm,
looks great. She dresses herself. She scents the bed. She's, you know, she's a babe. The draw of this is very, very intense. But the end of it is death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the premise of the book I would love to do at some point. We got all of one story done. But we need like 10 stories or something,
mm-hmm,
then we print this thing where you get – first, we got to find people. And maybe we should ask for people to, you know, people who've been down this path, you know,
mm-hmm,
and say, you know, I know what this is like. I know, and who would be willing? We'll change the names,
mm-hmm,
but to let everybody know, these are true stories. They tell you someone who would relive the temptation with you,
mm-hmm,
write this out so that like woo, but then share, and that's the challenge of really writing it out so that the backside of it you. My point is after finishing
the hell of it.
Capture the hell of it. So that when you're done reading the story, you end that chapter with, oh my God, I never want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
And
next
to show
chapter,
the front end,
ooh,
how easy
the attract,
it is to
oh,
get
the connection,
sucked into
the excitement,
it.
The mm-hmm. But then by the done time you're done reading that story, you think, oh my God, I never want to go down this path. That's
mm-hmm.
the point. I think we need to show the temptation mm-hmm. on the front end. Don't be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then show the hell that results in it to the point that when you're done, the conclusion a person will get is, I don't want to go down this
Never,
path.
Ever,
so
ever.
Much so, I mean, if we did it really well, what would happen is when someone's going through this and they're feeling this,
mm-hmm.
they would remember, oh, but there's the rest of the
yeah.
story.
Here's the
I don't
rest
wanna,
of the story.
We all feel that temptation. Most people mm-hmm. feel that temptation. And if you just keep that part of it in your head, you'll get sucked down this hole.
Yep.
Because the front of this stuff, hey, temptation is temptation. It is exciting.
It
is thrilling. It's fabulous. Mm-hmm. The touch, the gaze, the ooh, the ah is like morphine, or not morphine, it's like cocaine,
it's,
man.
It's like a heroin hit.
Serious hit, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you just live there, the thing is we're not connecting. You need to realize this is the path to hell for you. People who go down this path overwhelmingly, and this can be Christian or non-Christian,
mm-hmm.
who will say at the end, I wish I would have never gone down this path. That's what you don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you don't see. So I would like to be, if we could get bold enough to find people who are bold enough to share their stories with us.
That's the hard part. There's a lot, I mean, I know other people, but they're just not willing because it's too hard, especially if they've survived this and their marriage has stayed together. It's mm-hmm. very difficult for them to sit and dump all of this and to relive it with somebody.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to several people, but they just can't do it.
That's the thing. If we could find people, if there's some people out there, listen, I know there's people all over the world listening to the show, and you would be willing to connect with us, what we're looking is for 10 very real stories. You went down this path. You'd be willing to relive it with us. You don't need to let your spouse know about it. And it'd be totally, I mean, not that you'd lie to them, but I mean, you don't need to put them on the phone while you're...
No.
Because you don't want to hurt them again. But just to say, yeah, this is the path I went down. This is what I did. This is what I was thinking. This is why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, what happened as a result of this and the hell? Because when you read the hell side and you hear the results of what most of this stuff leads to, it is very sobering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Solomon said, look, it's very enticing, but it is the staircase to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in a million different ways, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we blew through our commercial, so
oh.
We love ourselves. We love the sound of our own voice.
I was trying to like flag people down, but you didn't roll too deep into
your conversations.
We love ourselves.
We just want to talk because we love us talking.
He just likes the sound of his own voice.
I love the sound of my own voice. I'm my biggest fan.
Yes, of course you are.
We got a few minutes. Got anything for take us
this
for a
This is
few
somebody
minutes?
Else still wrote in about your $1,000 challenge. Remember that when you were saying to try to find...
Any place where the Bible says God told somebody to marry somebody?
Yes.
Okay.
She says, unfortunately, I found a passage in the Bible that people can use to say that they are waiting for God to give them a spouse. This morning, while my husband and I were reading a devotional from the Five Love Languages, there was a passage that said, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil.
What verse is that?
Ecclesiastes 9:9. God has given you under the sun. They're saying that God has given you the person.
All right. We'll look that up and pontificate upon it on the flip side. I give you the quick answer now. We'll wait to the other side.
Yes, yes.
She doesn't get the 1,000 because it's not what she thinks it
is. It didn't answer your challenge.
No, not really. Not really. But we'll take it on the other side because we don't have time and I have like 20 seconds worth of music to sit here and ramble on. La 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 la. I'm done.
You do like the sound of your own voice.
We'll be back. We'll be back right after this break.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete three Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
But I got to do my part, 'cause I know in my heart I got to please my sweet baby, yeah. Well, I ain't superstitious and I don't get suspicious, but my woman is a friend of mine.
Friend of mine.
And I know that it's true.
My woman is a friend of mine. That's very romantic.
So keep on loving me, baby.
Rockin' me, baby. You are being rocked on the Mark Gunger Show as we discuss all things concerning love and marriage. We got a challenge to my $1,000 challenge. If you can show me any place in the Bible where it says God told anybody to marry anybody, I'll give you $1,000. It's not in there. Amazingly, go to virtually any Christian conference, singles conference. Go listen to almost any pastor who advises on marriage. Listen to almost any Christian anywhere who talks about getting married to single people. And the number one point is getting the one God is going to bring you. Pray that God will bring you a husband. Pray God will bring you a spouse.
We'll now, show you the one.
Now, whether or not that can happen, that's up for debate, and I won't push that. What I am saying is no place in the Bible does it say that. There's no place in the Bible you ever see God doing that. People have turned into what is supposed to be our decision and tried to make it something of divine revelation. And it's got people messed up. They're not teaching the Bible correctly. By the way, we're getting ready to do a DVD just for singles that we're going to be shooting in August.
People will be very happy about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to teach you guys from the Bible. This is going to be very Christian-based. You know, some of the stuff that I do is anybody can watch. Like my life, you want a better marriage. Mm-hmm. You can be Christian, pagan, doesn't really matter, you know, because just practical stuff that everybody can relate to. This was going to be strictly from a Christian worldview on if you're single, how to find a spouse, how to discover what is God's will for your life along these lines. And it's not what everybody thinks. So this person just said, I win $1,000 because I find a verse that says, the wife that God gave you. Okay, first of all, we looked it up. It doesn't say that. Now, maybe the translation, you must have a paraphrase.
She used NLT, the New Living Translation, a paraphrase.
Yeah, the Living Translation, dear, it's not a translation of the Bible. It is a paraphrase translation. In other words, it's not literally what they said. They kind of took what is said and they tried to put it into language that is as easy as possible for people to understand. But it's not a translation. It's not a literal translation. It's not literally what was said. So this person translating it assumed what God gave you. What it says, literally, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. Okay, now it's talking about meaningless life that God has given. Or if you want to take your version, it's even harder that God gave you a meaningless wife. But it's not that. It's just, and first of all, you have to understand, Ecclesiastes is a very dark book.
It is. Very depressing to read through.
Yeah, here's a guy who, and I think the reason it's there is so, kind of what we were talking about before, kind of seeing the after effect of things. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who had everything that a human being could possibly want. He was paid annually in tons of gold. Mm-hmm. Tons of gold.
He had a bajillion wives and concubines.
He had 300 wives and 700 concubines who were just women you could have sex with, but technically weren't legally wives. You got 1,000 women. You would have to have sex morning, noon, and night just to get through 1,000 in a year.
Ride 'em, cowboy.
I mean, holy stinking cow. That's like hot. It's like a...
And that's just a one-time rotation with each one of them.
How long were they living at
this time? You should be like a stud fee for this. You know, they got horses they do this with.
How long were they living in theory, you know, age-wise?
By this time, not all that long.
Not all that long. No. Still it was over more 100, though.
Normal lifespan.
No, I don't think he made 200. He might have made 100. Mm-hmm. Solomon, maybe. I don't know.
Because given him like 70 years or 72 for it, I mean, that's a lot of...
That's a lot.
Oh, that's even assuming the plumbing still works.
Yeah. For three times a day, not when you're 70.
I think that plumbing's done giving out at some point. So who knows what he was doing? Here's a man. Point is, he had all the wealth a man could conceivably want, all the power a man could conceivably want, all the sex a man could conceivably want, and he kind of went off the reservation. Yep. He didn't do anything really, really, really nasty so much as he just let his heart get really cold towards God. And then he writes this. Mm-hmm. So this is a picture of a man. So you can't really take Ecclesiastes and come up with much Bible doctrine from Christianity any more than you can go to a backslidden Christian who's depressed and listen to them talk about, I got the wisdom of God in me. Yeah. This is really the picture. And I think the reason it's in there, so you can do exactly what I was talking about. See the dark side, the back side of when you go off the reservation. Mm-hmm. So here's a guy. The whole message of Ecclesiastes is this. Life sucks.
Yep.
That's his message. The whole thing.
It life sucks, then you die.
Everything sucks. Everything you live and life sucks, and then you die. Mm-hmm. And then on a really good day, it doesn't suck as much, but it probably will suck because I've seen everything and everything sucks. It doesn't matter what you get. Life means...
I know.
You know, this isn't exactly...
It's not very uplifting.
Yeah, this isn't exactly the gospel of Matthew. Okay. So first of all, you can't take any, even if it said something like she thinks it said, it still is nothing you can bank on, because this is not a guy under the anointing of the Holy Spirit writing the words and thoughts of God.
Under the anointing of Eeyore, maybe.
Of course, some people get, every word is it. You know, I'm not going to get into that with people. Yeah. Like, I believe in the Bible and stuff like that, but it is what it is. For example, when Judas went and hanged himself, that's in the Bible. That doesn't mean we're supposed to go do
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay, not everything in the Bible is you're literally supposed to go do, or it was God talking.
That's right.
Okay? There's all kinds of stuff recorded in the Bible that are horrible things that God had nothing to do with.
That's very true.
All right? They're saying every word is the inspired word. I know what they're trying to say. When Christians talk, they're being so anal, and that's why non-Christians have such fun making fun of them. Yeah. Because we're so stupid sometimes, Because then they go and say, "Well, did God say this? Don't you know?
And you look like a nitwit.
Look, the Bible is the Bible. We believe it's the Word of God. We believe it's the truth of God. But to say every single word was the anointed, that makes no sense, because there's things that people said that were horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of it is historical. They're just telling you what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, all the fundamentalists just had a heart attack there So Ecclesiastes is not doctrine-type material.
No.
There's truth in it. There's still wisdom in it because he was a wise guy. And his point is, look, at the end of life, serve God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. But this,
but don't base your whole life on the book of Ecclesiastes.
This isn't full of life and hope.
Mm-mm.
If you think this is life sucks, this is the message?
Life sucks, then you die?
Life sucks, then it dies. There's a time for everything to suck. You got...
There's no
spring,
point to it.
The sucks, and you got summer that sucks, and then you got the fall that sucks, and then you got winter that sucks, and life sucks. This is a clean read. It. It's pretty depressing.
I know, it is.
So even if it said what she says it said from Ecclesiastes, you can't make much out of it. Having said that, it's not what he said.
No,
there's no verse in Ecclesiastes that said God gave you the way. Now,
there's no verse in the whole Bible. That's what people don't understand. Said, $1,000 is not attainable, friends.
Yeah, it's not there, people. Keep looking. It's not there. But even if it was in the Old Testament and it said God gave them a wife, even if it said that, and I'm still convinced there's no place in the Bible that says that, even if it did say it in the Old Testament, you couldn't take much from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Old Testament, God did everything.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a plague, God did the plague.
Mm-hmm.
If something went good, God blessed you with the good. Mm-hmm. If your arm rotted off,
God
made your arm. Everything was God. If that's just the way they viewed everything. It wasn't until Jesus came along and started really making things clear. And then James says, every good and perfect gift is from God.
Mm-hmm.
We start seeing the distinction and the delineation between evil and good. All they knew is that if it happened and they had no control of it, it was God. Even if Satan showed up and did something horrible in the Old Testament, they reported, the Lord did this. It's like the guy who said, God, help me win this battle and I'll sacrifice the first thing that I see when I come home. And then he comes, first of all, God didn't tell him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place in the record that God said God even answered him. He comes home, the first thing he sees is his daughter.
And there she goes.
So the guy sacrifices his daughter. Now some feelings, well, he probably didn't really kill her. It means that she just was a virgin. Who knows? Mm-hmm. For all I know, he chopped her up into bits and, you know, fed her kibbles and bits to the dogs. Who knows?
Yuck.
But the reason why I say, he said, because God didn't tell him to do it.
No, I know.
Don't blame God for this. It's just this idiot did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so quick to defend everything in the Bible because we just freak out when somebody, you know, for heaven's sake, some moron says something and they say, well, then the Lord did. Doesn't the Lord, we don't know what the Lord did or didn't do with this stuff, okay? Old Testament, God did everything. Now, if it shows up and it says the Lord said, now we got something.
Mm-hmm.
And God said this and God said that. And okay, now we got, you know, an angel instructed them to do something. Now we got to, just because someone in the Old Testament said, well, God did such and such, you know, you got to look at it and say, did God really do this? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, all that, even in that, there's still no place that it says that.
No.
So get over it, people. Get over it. Good heavens.
They'll argue the Hosea. They'll
God told me. God, Hosea.
I know, I said, I'm just telling you, they'll argue Hosea, they'll argue.
God told Hosea to go marry a prostitute.
Didn't say which
and
one.
And he didn't say even which one. He said, just go pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a hoe, any hoe. Ho, ho, ho. pick a hoe. Now, if you
didn't
think
say
that's,
the one.
If you think that's your basis for romantic love, that I'm the hoe my wife picked, my husband picked, that's your, you know, you think that's what the Bible's talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
There is no, the closest one you can get to is with the Abraham.
Isaac and Rebecca. Mm-hmm.
But what's funny about this is Isaac had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And Abraham nothing to do with it. It was Abraham's servant. He would pray, God, help me find the right girl for him, you know. And
it was just someone who was a family member, right?
Yeah. But even still, let's say that God really did find the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're good with one of your dad's employees going to find a cousin for you to marry, then you can pray that prayer. All right? That's what it was.
Yeah.
But there's not this. But you stop and talk to people today about, I promise you, go to any church.
I hear it all the time.
I walk into any church anywhere, talk to somebody, but I'm just trusting God to bring me a husband. Yeah. I'm praying for God to bring me the wife. I'm just waiting for divine revelation. And I'm telling you people, that's unbiblical talk. It's unbiblical. Where in the Bible do you say that? It would be like saying, I believe you should stand on your head and eat a banana when you pray. Praise God. I believe everywhere you went, people say, I believe you should have a banana in your hand when you pray and stand on your head.
And if they heard it often enough, they would believe it,
well,
I promise
you.
You
hear all these preachers say that. You can make sure you have a banana stand on your head when you pray. I would come along and say, okay, wrong. Why? Because nowhere in the Bible does it say, stand on your head and eat a banana when you pray. And there's no record of anybody in the Bible standing on their head and eating a banana when they prayed. So I don't care if your pastor and all the evangelists you've ever heard all your life said that. It's not in the Bible.
That's right.
And I'm saying that when it comes to this thing, well, God's going to show me and bring me in divine revelation for husband and wife.
It
I go, really?
In the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got to say
okay.
about that.
All right. Speaking of dating questions, here you go. It's from a single guy. What is a good indication of a solid Christian? I want to ask a girl out, but she is not Christian, so I am planning to address that issue first. I don't plan on asking her out until she becomes a Christian. Before you swirly me, he says. He knew what was
Here's
coming,
the man
apparently.
Who knows the show?
I did ask girls out from two local churches, and unfortunately, none of those attempts were successful. I've heard Ross talk about being persistent, but unlike him, I don't feel attracted to a girl anymore once I get a no. It's like an off switches in my head. Is there something I should reconsider? Where is the line that divides respectfully persistent and being a stalker?
Don't!
Okay. A bit more information here.
Okay, yes.
He is 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been married. He is a virgin. He said that he's never even kissed a girl. He's dated a few times, but nothing close to marriage.
Okay.
So, two questions. What's the line between respectfully persistent and stalker? And what's a good indication of a solid Christian girl?
If they're taking out a restraining order.
You've crossed the line, Shannon.
She'll let you know.
And she will let you. That's a good point, isn't it? She'll kind of let you know at some point.
Yeah.
You know, no, is, you know, you can be persistent in that context.
And seriously, when she says, no, seriously, I'm done. No means no.
Yeah. And even Ross pushed through that. That's what's the funny story about that deal. So I don't
know.
Ross
is the
exception.
I would not base your dating on Ross's
experience. Seriously, first of all, most people do not turn into stalkers.
No.
Okay. That's
some people do.
Well, it's not like they ask these, because we've gotten this question before.
Yeah.
People say, like, oh, it's an easy line to cross into stalker.
Like, whoops, I became a stalker.
Whoops, I became a stalker. I didn't mean to be a stalker, but somehow I fell into stalkerhood. It's very rare, okay, right. People? Quit freaking out over
that you're
stuff
become a stalker.
About becoming a stalker.
But
chances
how many times
are,
is he getting no? If he gets no once or twice and he's taking that as the ultimate rejection, as the ultimate no, I would say, then you got an issue. You should be able to handle
well,
a
that's
no
what it sounds
once
like.
Or twice.
He's not feeling attracted to the girl anymore once he gets a no, is what he says. A no.
Now let me get this straight. He's mm-hmm. saying that non-Christian women will go out with him, but Christian women won't.
That's the impression that I'm getting.
You should ask it. I mean, that's
he says he's getting no's from the Christian girl, so now he's thinking of asking a non-Christian girl.
Oh, cool. So he doesn't know he's going to get a yes from the non-Christian
girl. No, he doesn't know.
Okay. So if all the Christian women you ask say no, and all the non-Christian women you ask say no,
he hasn't
you might
asked
want
her.
To check your breath.
He wants to make sure she's
you
a Christian
first. You might want to comb your hair. You might want to, you know, those greens don't match that you're wearing. Okay, you know, the fact that your teeth are falling out, you know, that might have something. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You may not be marriage material, dude. I mean,
might if, not be.
So right at this point, he's, first of all, I can understand Christian women going down this path of trying to find a guy mm-hmm. who becomes a Christian. Because quite frankly, there's not very many Christian men available.
Mm-hmm.
Christian women?
Shouldn't be a problem. There's so
single
many.
Single available Christian women? There's more than you can possibly count. Good Lord, come to Green Bay.
Okay, so what
stick
is
in my
a
church for a
good
day.
Indication?
They're everywhere. When I hear a man, a Christian man, tell me he can't find a Christian woman, I think they're nuts.
But yet they are not all. Not all these women in churches are good Christian women. So what are the indicators of a good Christian woman?
Well, someone who lives out their faith, you know.
Because they're not all. Just because they're in a church doesn't mean...
Yeah, but you learn that by spending time with him and dating. But he can't even get a date.
If she lets you in your pants or wants you in your pants?
Yeah.
That's not
but
it.
But I don't
that's
think that's his problem. He can't even get a date. Forget yeah. the pants.
Hmm? Yeah.
I mean,
sounds like an intense person to me.
No, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is I cannot get a woman to go on a date with me, any Christian woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go check out heathen women.
Yeah.
My guess is you won't have any success there either. There might be a problem that the guy's having. You have any friends?
Ask
Does the guy
friends.
Have any friends? Talk to your friends.
Ask your friends and see what they tell you.
Or talk to some women who've turned you down. Say, can I ask you a question honestly? Would you just be, and I don't know if she would or not,
yeah.
but just say, look, I know you don't want to go out with me. I get it. That's fine.
But
apparently
why?
I can't get anybody to go out with me.
Can you help me out?
Would you
tell
help me
why?
Out? What is it I'm doing wrong? What do you think? And then she'll say, well, you know, your breath. It's killing me, you know? I mean, seriously, there's people who don't get it.
Yeah.
I've known guys like this. Their breath could melt metal. seriously. If you got in front of a microphone like this, it would start dripping.
Yes.
The metal would start coming off.
Yes.
And they're clueless.
And they don't get it.
So they walk up to you and say, hi, how are you? How are you? My name's Harry. I'm happy to see you. Hallelujah. And it's like, good Lord. And you're like ready to hurl.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to have a hard time getting a date.
And
see, this is my point. Now, if you spiritualize it, well, mm-hmm. just God hasn't done it and stuff like
yeah.
that. I'm trying to get you out of the over-spiritualizing nonsense. If you have asked all
but
kinds of women.
Do that.
And no, but I'm saying he needs to stop it.
Yeah.
Your problem isn't a spiritual problem.
Find out what some of these women say.
Christian women. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many Christian women there are who are.
Yeah, I know.
They're desperate for a husband. And you can't get one
not
to go on
desperate.
A date with you?
Apparently, if there's a big issue, they're not that desperate.
Well, listen, I mean, either, and here's the other, from a spiritual standpoint, what I could say is maybe this isn't what God has for you.
This is true. Maybe.
Not everybody has to be married.
No.
Look, one of the best things you can do, according to the Bible, is stay single.
Mm-hmm. You can
so maybe
really
God's,
serve God.
Maybe God's, you want to put spirituality in this? Mm-hmm. Maybe God wants you to be single.
Maybe he does.
But if you don't think he does, and you have this big sex drive, and you need this need in your life, chances are, you know what?
Well, if he's a 35-year-old virgin
should,
who's never kissed somebody, I would say
to come
that
to Green Bay
have.
And spend a week with Ross.
Come on, Ross.
Ross needs to do a man makeover. Right?
He's rolling big eyes.
I mean,
seriously,
say
show
no.
him how
what
to dress.
What if I say no? Is he going to be persistent? Is he going to pursue this and say, no,
I'm
I really
saying,
want this?
He needs to spend a week with Roscoe here, right?
Sure.
Ross will tell him if he stinks that his hair, you know, that was cool, like, in 1982,
yeah.
but it's not
makeovers.
Cool anymore.
I'll increase
makeovers.
Your chances of
increase
being
okay.
odds.
You know, learn how. You need a week with Ross.
Yeah, okay.
So, Ross, contact Ross at the show and See if you can fly in. Ross will take a week with you. Bring some money. You got to bring some money because he's going to take you shopping. Because Ross is...
Yeah. It's on your dime, you know, be dude.
Really, it's a metrosexual. To have another man with a different perspective who's really gone down to where he's at to challenge not how he looks but how he presents himself and watch him try to actually do what he's saying is failing miserably.
Yeah.
Listen, if a guy is a semi-attractive guy, the other thing, does a guy have a job? Now, if he's on unemployment...
There might be all sorts of reasons why he's still single.
For a woman, do you want to marry a guy who you know... Who's always on
doesn't
welfare
have a job,
at
no.
church?
If you're still living in your mom's basement at 35. No, I'm not going to marry you.
I could set him up with some blind dates, even if he comes, and then I'll just tag along
and watch and see what happens.
You know, like Roxanne, that movie, and you can talk into his ear.
With not wearing a big fake nose.
I love you. Tell her I love you.
Sernacht
well, because sometimes all you have to do is see how they're interacting, and you know what the problem is. It's like, whoops.
But
yeah,
my point
problem.
Of all this is, see, he's spiritualizing his problem, which is my whole point of this. Everybody's God's going to do some divine thing. It's got to be some spiritual. Look, it's not a spiritual problem. If you can't get a date, you are either hideously ugly or you smell or you don't
there's
know
some
how
other
to,
problem there.
Or you don't know how to dress.
Don't know how to
or you
act.
Don't know how to act around a woman. Or I mean, most women, they just want someone who will be polite to them and make them feel special and not be repulsive.
Yeah, if you're not gross and you're just nice and you treat her kindly,
come on,
there has to be somebody.
My name's Hal. I was just asking my mom if I could ask you out on a date.
You know, well, you have a problem. If the guy's gainfully employed, seems like a nice man, has something to offer, I just can't. In the Christian world, the guy could have 100 wives.
Now, not all women are looking for, let's say, Johnny Depp. But there are some. I know there are some chicks out there that all they're looking for is Mr. Hottie. And if you ain't Mr. Hottie, they don't want to
I think that's pretty rare, to be honest
no,
with you.
No, I know.
You know, very few people are hot other
but
than myself.
But some of these guys
are doing
the same thing. All they want is the Mrs. Hottie.
Yeah,
and if he's not Mr. Hottie...
I'm telling you, we're talking the Christian environment. You know what these
women
want? I know
in the Christian environment, it's the same thing for
the exception. The rule is these are women who want a guy they consider a godly guy, who's a responsible man who will love them for the rest of their lives. That's what they want. But thankfully, most women aren't really visually stimulated, or men like me would have never gotten married. Okay? I mean... There's other things, thank God, that women are interested in.
You just need to play the song Forever by Randy Travis. I'm going to love you forever, forever and ever. Amen.
Now, all the women would marry Randy Travis because he's good looking, got lots of money. In fact, he's got so much money, he could be really ugly, and a lot of women marry him.
he's getting divorced, you know that.
No, I didn't know that. Yep. That's too bad.
Yep, him and his wife have gone their separate ways.
Oh, so much for the I'll Love You Forever song.
Mm-hmm.
I'll love you forever until you divorce me.
And that's why he starts singing All My Exes Live in Texas.
He sang that song?
No, George Strait sang it.
He'll do the remake.
That's too bad. Sorry for
Randy. Mrs. Travis.
Anyway, single guy, no baggage from previous wives, with legitimate income coming into his life, and he can't get a date, he's doing something really
well,
wrong.
And to be 35, I mean, the upside of it is he doesn't have ex-wives and children and baggage. But the downside of it is, dude, you're 35. I would be a little shy of that.
That's the other thing. I mean, it really may be God's will for – he probably doesn't want to hear this. It really may be God's will for the guy to stay single.
I mean, we know guys.
Look, I know guys. They're 45, 48 who've never been married. You've never had to have sex for 50 years.
Yeah.
This is probably not for you.
You're probably one of those people that Paul talked about that, you're
stay,
not burning.
Stay
single.
Be a
great single guy and serve God.
If he feels no sexual desire for a wife, 35, man, I'd have gone blind by then.
You'd have gone crazy.
My sexual urge would have driven me insane. I'd be in a room somewhere going, you would. Look at the pretty things on the wall. Look at the pretty things. Oh, did you hear that voice? Did you hear that voice? Hi, Mark.
Stop that.
Quit talking to me. Quit talking. Oh, it's over there. Oh, where'd you go? Where'd you go? You know, that would be me.
I know.
35 years of no sex. I would have lost my mind. I cannot do 35. I'm not sure I can do 35 days. But I couldn't have done 35
years. Yeah, if you can go 35 years,
climbing the wall, you really have to analyze, do you really need to be married? It's not for everybody.
It's not.
Having said that, if you don't have a Ross in your life, you know, do you have any friends? Go talk to some guys or some girls. Mm-hmm. Say, help me. So I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Go to some woman and say, some nice girl mm-hmm. who doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Mm-hmm. Say, I'll give you $1,000 if you can fix me.
Just tell me the honest truth.
Take me shopping, mm-hmm. okay? I'll pay you.
I would do
you
that.
Just take me $500.
Okay, so some guy came up to you. Say, listen,
I would do that.
And he's a nice guy in the chair. Say, listen, Diane, I'll give you $500. A lot of women, you don't have to pay him anything. Just say, I've got $2,000. I want to go spend it. Will you help me spend it?
I would do that.
Don't do it, guys. That's a drug for most women. They don't need the money.
I would do it.
Just bring money you're going to spend on yourself. Show her the cash.
Yep.
Say, here, I got $2,000 here.
Yep.
Would you take me shopping?
I would be your personal shopper.
Dude, some women,
I take Diane shopping.
Wait a minute. Some women would marry him right then and there.
Yeah. Probably. $2,000 and I'll go shopping. That's all she'd need to hear.
You might find your next wife, your wife, just doing that.
Yeah.
Take $2,000 in cash. Yeah. Show it to some nice girl and say, would you do me a favor? You got to clarify quick.
Yes.
might be trying to pay for sex or something. You know, I don't think you're a hoe, but let me ask a question. I got $2,000 here. Would you take me shopping? I need some woman to take, or go to a couple of girls and say, would you two girls come with me? I got $2,000. We'll spend the whole weekend. I'll take you to dinner, a movie, whatever. But you've got 2 days and we're going to, I'll buy anything you tell me to buy.
Yeah.
Fix me.
Yeah.
Dude, these women would be the best weekend of their lives.
And
they would love it.
And
they
seriously,
get to buy
do a double date. Find a girl, take this girl and somebody else so that they can watch you, so that she can give you some tips and pointers and say, okay, when you did this, when you said this, this was no good. You can't
I'd
be doing those things.
I'd never pay a woman to do that. Seriously?
No, you have to pay her. So just say, I got $2,000 to go
even
shopping.
Even that, I still wouldn't. I'd say to have a guy. There's something about having a woman, I think, tell another man what he should do. When I'm saying a guy who has
look,
a
most
wife,
guys are
come
not
to
like
town,
no, no, wait
Ross
a minute, Ross.
You
it.
Got. I'm telling you though, but find
most
the guy
guys,
who's making
if he
it
came
work.
To me like me and said I got $2,000, let's go
my
shopping.
My husband would not know.
I'm getting a big screen TV.
No.
You know, this is my idea of shopping.
My husband wouldn't know. He wouldn't know
that's
how
what
to
I'm
instruct
saying.
Him.
You
got
to either go to a metrosexual,
to wear, or be, or
you got to go to a strange dude like Ross, or go to some women. If you don't have a Ross in your church, there's women in your church. I'm telling you. Don't you guys agree?
Yes.
Absolutely. You two women are married. If a guy came to you two
I would absolutely
in church and say,
help them.
Could you guys help me?
What I would.
I got $2,000. Would you take me shopping?
Yes.
I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy you dinner. Just buy anything you tell me to buy. You two would laugh
would
and
that.
Giggle. You'd have so much fun.
It would be fun.
You'd fix that boy up.
Yes.
He'd have a date in 10 days.
Yes.
So this is fixable, dude. Quit over spiritual. It's not
it's a
spiritual problem. It is. You're doing something wrong.
Probably. Find some girl that'll help you out and explain to you what you're doing wrong.
I don't know. I bet you there's women on our chat room probably right now. Say, I'll take him.
He can be my project. I'll take on a
women
project.
Women just love to go shop. You wouldn't even have to pay him to do it.
No.
Women love to go shopping.
I would
shopping.
Love to do the whole makeover thing and help you out. That would be fun.
Golly. I promise if I was in a situation like that,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'd do. I'd go to you two guys and here, I got $2,000 to take me shopping.
Mm-hmm.
We would have a blast.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I would look very cool.
Yes, you would.
You guys would have had a great time.
Yep.
It's an easy fix.
We'd wipe up your drool and fix y'all up.
All right, guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.